forward is
our bonds that Be'ez Hashem we should continue to foster and grow together with. Oh, yeah, that's right. And Jason and Menachem's looking forward to seeing you on the basketball court. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we're coming off the heels of a fascinating mahalach of the Emek Bracha in the Rambam in terms of the requirement of a Metzorah for the Yisra of Tesporas. And that fascinating mahalach, it relates to a Pshatovna point of the Yavetz, that the Yavetz had said that our Gemara asks from Menuda, even though our Mishnah says Beferish that Menuda there is an Yisra Tesporas, because there's two components of the Yisra Tesporas. One component of the Yisra Tesporas is the classic case of Giluach, and the other halacha is the halacha of cutting hair from the entire body. So we saw that this idea is echoed as well in how to be masbir, why the Rambam in Perek Yud Halacha Vav seems to put the Yisra Tesporas by a Metzorah in a different category of the Chiyuv Mitzvah for Gidol Seyar. And the Emek Bracha makes this point, but I think Rav Yifrach really brought it home even in a stronger manner. He was Mosef after Shir, that the Rambam in Hilchos Tumas Saras says that there's one mitzvah in the Pirkei HaMitzvah. So if you take a look in the beginning of Hilchos Tumas Saras, so the Rambam in Mitzvah Dalid says, Shiyiyah HaMetzorah Mefursam B'Kriyas B'Gadov U'Priyas Rosha V'Ati Al Safam. So Rambam says B'Ferish in the Pirkei HaMitzvah that there is a requirement for him to let his hair grow. The Torah's Rambam was medayik that in the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvah, and he also argued something that seems to be incorrect, that maybe the Rambam quoted the whole Pasuk, although in our present edition, which the Torah's Rambam Emek Bracha didn't have, it doesn't have the whole Pasuk. But either way, the Rambam first gives us the halachos of Atifa, and then he gives us the halacha of Gidol Seyar, at least in the Pirkei HaMitzvah, and then finally, later on, he puts together the Yisr to take a haircut and to be Mechabe. So you wouldn't have expected the two to go together. You would have expected the Rambam to put that Gidol Seyar upstairs, above, with the Din D'Oraisa, because the Yisr Kibbutz, there's no Makar for that. So says the Emek Bracha, fascinating Yisod, he says that there are two components over here, according to the Rambam. There's one din of the requirement of Gidol Seyar that's on the hair and the beard. And then there's another halacha that he has to be, in our Lashon, he has to be shoves entirely from Tespores of cutting at all. Any shearing of his bodily hair, he's not allowed to do. That's an Isser Derabbanan. So that, again, echoes the idea that we saw from the Yavetz. There are two components, that the Isser Tespores, here it's Meduyuk in the Lashon Rambam, although the Talmidim tried to make it Meduyuk in other places, and it's very, very hard to flesh this out in other places in the Lashon of Tespores. But here what we have is the Isser of Tespores, which is the Isser of cutting on the entire guf. I thought that we could be mosif to what the Emek Bracha is saying by looking at the Lashon Rambam in Hilchos Evel. Now, if you take a look in the Rambam in Perek Hey Halacha Beis, the Rambam's Lashon is striking. The Rambam says, like this, in the Isser Tesporas, the Rambam's Lashon is, after he gives us the Yud Aleph Dvarim, that the world says over our Yisurim, and that the Rav taught us are all components of one mitzvah asay kiyum. So after you have these Yud Aleph things, however you describe them, so Rambam says, Uminayin sha'aval asa b'tisporas, sharei hizir b'nei aron ha'sheichem al tifro, mechlal shekol ha'misabil asa l'saper saro el megadol pera. He has to let his hair grow. And then the Rambam continues, and then he says, "Ukeshem sha'aser legaleach sar rosho, kach aser legaleach sar zikno v'chol sar sheyeshbo." Here, the Rambam puts in a different, separate category, a haircut and a trim. The Rambam says, and just like it's prohibited to get your hair cut, so too it's prohibited to trim your beard or do any other hair cutting. So I was bothered. Why does the Rambam say "ukeshem"? L'chura, it's all part of the same din. In Meseches Smachos, in Evo Rabasi, that's the Brisos that didn't make it into the Mishnayos. So there in Perek Zayin, it says it's also to cut all here. But the Rambam uses an interesting lashon, Ukishem. Why does the Rambam say Ukishem? So I was thinking that maybe this works beautifully in the Mahalach that the Emek Bracha was saying, Dahainu, that there is two dinim over here by Avil. One is that if you're going to say that there is a Kiyum Doraisa on here, so that's the Makar, that's the original Makar, that might be a Doraisa, at least on the first day. On the first day, the Rambam holds that the Avelus Yom Rishon is Doraisa. So that's the Isser of cutting you here. Then, Kishem, just like that, there's another category, there's a Dindar Rabbanan. Now, clearly there's an extension over here. There's the Dindar Raisa, and then there's some type of extension. Maybe that extension is only an Isser de Rabbanan. So I was thrilled to see that Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer makes this diuk in the Rambam. The Rav Isser Zalman makes this diuk. I, from the Masorah of Brisk, I always feel that Rav Isser Zalman is the paradigm of the next generation of Reb Chaim's Talmidim of straight thinking. So if Rav Isser Zalman says something, the writing in the Sefer is a little bit unclear, but we'll talk about that maybe in the future. We have to learn a little bit before we get to a commercial. But the Rav Isser Zalman's had tremendous seichel ayasher from, and he's a mamshich of the Derech of Reb Chaim. He makes this diuk in a response to Rav Zevin, who Rav Zevin suggested that it could be that there's a difference between giluach harosh and versus giluach on the body, and he says that's correct, and he thinks it's meduyik in the Lashon HaRambam, that the rest of the body will only be a derabbanan as opposed to the head, which might be a deraisa. Let's keep this in mind for down the line when we get to Daf Yud Ches, when we discuss the Yisur of Nutilas Sipornayim. Originally, I had thought with you to do it on the Marmikomos now, but let's leave it for Daf Yud Ches Yimir Tzashem when we get there to see what's the relationship between this deraisa and the derabbanan. But this whole mahalach that starts with the Pshatovna Ha'ara from the Yavitz, which carries through to the Yisod of the Emek Brach and Hilchas Tumas Saras, which goes back to the Yisod of the Yisur of Tesporos by Hilchas Avel, all these things are connected. And according to the Ritva that we saw yesterday, the Ritva had said that our Sugya was, if you say our Sugya is only going on a Derabbanan, so then there's no problem, our Sugya. However, he suggests that there are some who say that the Sugya is going on a level of Doraisa. If the Sugya is going on a level of Doraisa, it seems to be that there are two parts. There's the Doraisa in regards to the Rosh, as is Meduik in the Rambam, the way Rav Zevin or Isser Zalman seem to be suggesting it. And then there's another halacha, which is the Din Derabbanan. So the Ritva wasn't sure whether our Sugya is on a level of Doraisa or Derabbanan. According to Rav Isser Zalman's Taich in the Rambam, according to the way he defines the Rambam, what emerges is that there's two different things. There's the Doraisa on the Rosh, and then there's the Derabbanan on the beard. Yes?
Does it imply that it's Doraisa versus Derabbanan in the Rambam off the beard?
It doesn't apply. It's seen that way.
It's a kashim.
Oh, no. So Rav Isser Zalman claims that in his proficiency in the Rambam, and when the Rambam is using the Lashon Kishem, if you were right, Sammy, why did the Rambam bring in Kishem altogether? Rav Isser Zalman actually begins to study how Kishem is used in Shas and how Kishem is used in the Lashon Rambam. And he claims that when the Gemara uses it, the Gemara uses it the way you mean it. But the Rambam, he says, would not use it that way. The Rambam, when he brings in Kishem, if he just as well could have said the same halacha under one rubric, then he would never have broken it down into two categories. There in the piece, Rav Isser Zalman brings out that idea. Again, that's consistent with the Masorah of Reb Chaim, that every letter in the Rambam is more meduyak sometimes than even the Lashon of the Brisos and the Lashon of Ravina or Rav Ashi. The Rambam would just put it into one category. He wouldn't have divided it into two separate categories. Yes, Menachem?
Talking about
Menudo, oh, okay.
Talking about the beard.
Good. So let me leave off with the Talmidim have a few tzarachiyuns on what we just said. Number one, the whole notion that when we talk about the Yisurin, L'Saper, L'Kaves, the Yaivitz is presenting it, the Emek Bracha is presenting it this way, that's referring to Kol Aguf, which is outside of the halacha of Nivul, which is a Din D'Oraisa. So who was it who asked it? Eitan? Eitan asked, is this Eitan's kasha? Eitan asked, at the end of the day, the opening of the Gemara in Yudalad Amin Aleph doesn't seem to be this way. Let's remind ourselves, what was the opening of the Gemara in Yudalad Amin Aleph? Asur in Lesaper Ulekaves, there we're talking about Anshe Mishmar and Anshe Maimid. And then the Gemara says, in order that they shouldn't be in a state of nivel. According to the Yavits, the Isur Lesaper Ulekaves is a separate halacha outside of the halacha of nivel. It's a much broader Isser. So Eitan asks on the Yavetz Mahalach, the Gemara seems to put together, Nivol is that you shouldn't have long hair. And then there's another halacha of being what we call being shoves from hair cutting. That we're saying in an extreme way to bring it out. So that whole approach, even if you don't say it in the extreme way, if you say it the Yavitz's way, at the end of the day, the Gemara seems to put the two together on Yudal Ram and Aleph. That is a good kasha. I don't have a yisha for that kasha. That's Sarachiyu number one on this whole, on the Yavitz's Mahalach. The Chura is a kasha and the Emek Bracha as well. Also the Talmidim asked, the Emek Bracha did one more thing that was very, very beautiful. The Emek Bracha pointed out that according to this Mahalach, if you're Mechalik between the Isser, he's calling the Isser Daraisa by Mitzora, of having one's hair grow, and then not cutting at all, so then the Emek Bracha points out that Tosis' whole kasha doesn't start. What was Tosis? Tosis, the top two Tosos, or top Tosos, is bothered at the end of the day, Meroshia Parua, why don't you just go simply to Rabbi Eliezer? So Tosis says, must be, that our sugya is totally in the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. Because what's the Gemara Shaila? Menudinu Mitzaron. We learn Beferish from Veroshia Perua that's talking about Gidol Seir. So Tosis says, you have to say it's not going according to Rabbi Eliezer. That's how Tosis learns right off the bat. According to the Emek Bracha's Mahalach, it's fine. There's no problem. Because our Shaila is on the halach of cutting every part of the body's hair. If we're talking about cutting every part of the bodies here, so that is not included in the halach of Gidol Seir. The halach of Gidol Seir is the din d'oraisa. So this, based on this, the Emek Bracha is miyashev, Tosos is kasha. So that's very smooth. But the next part that the Emek Bracha assumed, that's very glatt, that's beautiful. But the next part that the Emek Bracha assumes is not so smooth. And that is, he says, that it must be that in the Rambam you have to say that there's a new mahalach in the Rambam because the Rambam on the one hand is mechayev atifa, yet also says gidol seir. He says anybody who holds of atifa doesn't hold of gidol seir. And I'll prove to you, because Tosfos points out that Rav Papa holds that you don't have atifa, but he's going within Rabbi Akiva who doesn't go with gidol seir. So Manushach, one of the two, that's the Emek Brachas Kasha. So all the Talmidim were bothered. When we ask this, at the end of the day, who says that Rav Papa is the only way of understanding Rabbi Akiva? You don't have to assume that Rav Papa and Rabbi Akiva are the same thing. Rav Papa is one possible understanding of Rabbi Akiva. So the Talmidim asked. So I just want to point out that Menachem pointed out that according to the Rashi, it does seem that way. Because Rashi learns, within Rabbi Akiva, on Divar Maskel Dover Shu Chutz Migufo, Roshia Perua, Mashma Megula. Rashi understands that Chutz Migufo means to tell you that the head is entirely Megula. So on the one hand, it's not only telling you the halach in regards to Gidol Seir, it's also telling you, according to Rabbi Akiva, that there's no atifa. Hence, the Emek Bracha says that we need to find a new explanation in the sugya that's not going to be the explanation that Tosfos had said, because the Rambam doesn't fit into either mahalach. Rabosa, I realize that what I just said was quick. I listed off all the tzarachiyuns. I just, put them into a structure. I did it quickly. That's not the most important part. I just want to address the most important what's bothering the Talmidim quickly. The most important part is to know what they said. The Talmidim are always bothered by lots of questions. That's great. That means they're haraving and learning. But in Shir, it's not my responsibility to spend a lot of time on those questions. We could hack them out more in Seder. But I did want to point out a couple of good ha'aros and how we could possibly miyashev one of them. The last point I said was a cheshbon, which we could discuss afterwards. Okay. Any questions just to clarify the shitos outside of Menachem's answer to the question that the Talmidim have had within Rav Papa and Rav Akiva? Outside of that, anything needs to be clarified within the Emek Bracha?
Just that
So far, so good? Good? Okay. Let's start now the next sugya. Okay? Let's continue on the next sugya. The Gemara says, Avel asar laniach tefillin. An Avel, it's prohibited for him to put on tefillin. Midikamer le rachman le yecheskel, pe'ercha chavush alecha. You shall put on your pe'er. Michlal de kule alma asar. We can infer from here that everybody else has an iser to put on tefillin. Only Yecheskel has the heter. Tov. One line of Gemara. Everybody else has the iser. The Rishonim are bothered that there's a parallel sugya to the our sugya over here. And that is the sugya in Brachos. The Brachos on Daf Yud Aleph Amin Aleph, there, the sugya there is talking about a osek v'mitzvah potter min ha-mitzvah. So there they discuss also someone who would be potter is also an avel. Along the list of other individuals who will be potter, the Gemara quotes Rabav Bar Zivda, who quotes the name of Rav, avel chayiv b'chol ha-mitzvah ha-muris b'torah, chutz min ha-tfilin, shenemra behem po'er, shenemra percha chavosh alecha. Seems to be a parallel sugya. Mar over there gives the halacha that avel is chayiv in all mitzvos except for tefillin. Let's start with the kasha of the Ritva. Comes along the Ritva, and the Ritva asks, very simple, vim tomar. Ye osir ko shiva batifa saro shalamadnu biyecheskel. Why is the halacha that you're potter only on the first day? If the makar is from Yecheskel, so then there in Yecheskel, it should be 7 days. It should be 7 days. So asks the Ritva, why over here is only the first day? V'ilu kamon, and the Gemara later on, Amrinan shein asa el yom echa me'esleis, and the Gemara never really gives us a reason. Why tefillin is only b'yom rishon? V'yesh lomar, so Ritva's teretz is, de'enu kedin lifrok m'menu ol shamayim ipneikein. We don't want to take away ol malchus shamayim, and since here, taking away tefillin is ol malchus shamayim, just a parenthetical remark, Soloveitchik pointed out that the reason why we make a bracha of the Shel Rosh in Minig Ashkenaz is al mitzvah tefillin, and as opposed to le'aniach tefillin, is al indicates that there's something that's taking effect the moment you put the tefillin on your head. And he said that there's a status of a head that's a karkafta de munach tefillin, a head that has tefillin on. There's hosafas kedusha with the Shel Rosh. The le'aniach is the ma'isa mitzvah putting on tefillin. But the al is a separate bracha on the hosafas kedusha. And that hosafas kedusha is ol malchus shamayim. The whole idea that there's some that our heads are incomplete without binding the parshiyas haTorah on them is a very, very, very powerful idea. I know that, you know, when we're teenagers, it's hard to internalize, but this is a very, very profound idea. So if we could get away with only getting it to the first day, so then we would say only the first day you're potter, but all other days there's a of all malchus shamayim, and according to Ritva in Echanami, it's an exception to the rule. It's a svara. It's a svara. By Yecheskel, it really should be all 7 days. But over here, it really should only be the first day. And Talmud Torah is different because the pasuk says, "Pekudei Hashem Yisharim Misam Chilev," and Simcha is a stira to the Avelis, and therefore, even though Talmud Torah is the other half of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, but there you have to make it aser because by definition, it's so sick. This is the answer that the Ritva gives to the Kasha. Let's compare what the Ritva does to the Tosas HaRash. Let's take a look at the Tosas HaRash. Tosas HaRash says, Avol asa b'tefillin mitukamer le'rachmona li'yecheskel v'im tomer. Typically, now the Tosas HaRash brings in the sugya and brachos. Typically, mihadar minon, by the way, in the new edition, what do they quote? The brachos, perek what? It should be Perik Me'emasai, right? Avol chayiv b'chol ha-mitzvos ha-muris b'torah chutz min ha-tefillin, shenemar b'en pe'er. Klomar, Ein pe'er b'makom efer. Rabosai, the Tosfos HaRosh is asking a question, and his question assumes a certain understanding of the Gemara in Brachos Yud Aleph Amid Aleph. And that is, when the Gemara in Brachos says, remove the pe'er, Rashi immediately explains that we're not quoting the pasuk in Yecheskel as an isur, but rather we're seeing that, that from the pasuk that tefillin is considered an adornment. That's a stira to avelus. That's a stira to avelus. That's how Rashi learns. Take a look at Rashi over there. Rashi says that on the Dibur HaMaschil Alama, Rashi says, Shenemar ben per yulicheskel, v'kivon debo per, v'evel miskolel b'tzaro, v'avel miskolel b'tzaro, b'ofer, ein ze per. Since his head is rolling in the sand, so then it's not considered a per. In other words, b'metzius, avelus is so ser per. B'metzius, you can't have it. So if that's what the Gemara is saying, that's how Rashi understood it, that's how Rashi understood it. Where did Rashi get that from the Gemara? Tzarechiyun. Need to be masbir a little bit more. But if that's the way you understand it from the Gemara, so then the halacha would be, should be inferred without our Gemara's makar. Why did our Gemara ask the Tosfos HaRosh say, Aval asel aniach tefillin, because we see that Yecheskel was told to put on tefillin, not everybody else. The metzius of tefillin is nistar from avelus, because the avel is b'makom efer. It seems to be that there's a kiyum for the avel to put offer on his head. So he can't put on the tefillin. He can't put on the tefillin. V'kivan debo pe'er, v'evel meskol b'tzar b'offer, ein ze pe'er. It's not considered a pe'er. Why did Rashi assume that this was the pshat? After all, it's the same pasuk, right? It's quoting the same pasuk. Why did Rashi, according to the Tosfos HaRosh, there are two possibilities. Let me write this out on the board to make sure this is clear. Do we have a marker? All the markers are gone. Okay. So, when it comes to the chiyuv, the p'tur of tefillin, what's the reason we have a p'tur of tefillin? Is the reason they have a p'tur of tefillin because Xeris HaKasa, Perach HaChavosh Me'alecha, that's a pasuk from Yecheskel? Or is it b'metzius? B'metzius, you can't put on tefillin. B'metzius, you can't put on tefillin. Why? Because the Rosh HaAvel is ba'afer. So the Tosfos HaRosh assumes these are two possibilities. And Rashi, in Brachos Yud Aleph Amid Aleph, seems to say it the way the Tosfos HaRosh said, that b'metzius he can't put on tefillin. I would like to add b'loshen ulai, only b'loshen ulai though. Why did Rashi and the Rosh both assume that that was the pshat over there, and didn't understand that's exeris hakosav like the way our Gemara is saying it? Maybe because of the shinui in the Lashon HaGemara. The shinui of the Lashon HaGemara by us is avel. In Brachos, it says, Ovel chayiv b'chol ha-mitzvahs. What does our Gemara say? Aser l'aniach. This is not my diuk. This is a diuk by the Ritzvan, Sukhan da'chav ha-chav-heh. Why does the Gemara in Brachos say, Ovel chayiv b'chol chutz? And our Gemara say, Aser l'aniach. So Rabbeisai, you tell me now the pshat. You tell me the pshat. This is... You have to dance from this. You have to dance. Yeah? Why is Avel Potter from... Yeah, but... Why did it change? Because one's talking about the sugi of osik mitzvah pater min mitzvah, and the other's talking about hilchas avel, right? That's what you're saying.
I mean, more than that, I guess more specifically that by, I mean this is really close to Rosh Hashanah, really. That one's telling me in general how I know an avel is osik mitzvah tefillin. That's our sugi more tefillin. The sugi is avos high v'chol mitzvah musar or tefillin tefillin. So why dafkin tefillin is that the why is dafkin?
I hear what you're saying. I just want to now put it back into the Rashi and the Minei Ubeo here in the Svaris. Let me just try to do the same. If you want to be cholik, I want to listen. But let me just... If we say that the Vard is, that Avel Chayiv is the Pshat. Avel Chayiv is the Pshat what? That he's Chayiv in all mitzvos, but he's Potter from here. It could very well be that he's Chayiv normally in all mitzvos. He's really Chayiv in all mitzvos. But for some reason over here, he's an Ones. Why is he an Ones? Because he ain't Per B'Malkam Afar. However, according to the way Tosfos of Rashi is setting it up as a dialectic, that our sugya is different. Here the Gemara is telling us an Isur. In one case, the Gemara is telling us that he's not Chayiv. He's not Chayiv. In the other case, the Gemara is creating the Isur. Hence, the Tosfos HaRosh, like Rashi, assumes that Avel Chayiv is coming to tell, is not telling us that there's an Isur for him. It's telling us that there isn't a Chiyuv. Why isn't there a Chiyuv? Because he's an Ones. Our sugya is telling us an Isur. This would be maybe why Rashi assumed to bring in this idea that he's potter. Why? Because it's not the same context in Moed Katan. Moed Katan's creating the Isur. Over here, we're explaining why he's not Chayiv. For that, it could very well be because he's an Ones. That's what Rashi introduces. What's Yaakov? That's part of the answer, but I'm trying, before I get to Tosfos Rashi's answer, I'm just trying to be medayik. Why did Rashi not give us the reason that we have over in that sugya? Why did Rashi not bring that out? So the reason why Rashi didn't bring it out is because the Lashonos of the Gemara themselves are different. Tosfos Rashi never brings out that there is a chiluk in the two Lashonos. It could very well be that Tosfos Rashi understood all of what we just said. That could very well be. But I'm trying to make it more minei ubei. That why it is that Rashi emphasizes that on brachos, which is against the sugya over there. Okay, now let's go a little bit further. Let's take a look further in Tosfos Rashi. I'm sorry, Sammy. I want to build a little bit, and then I'll let you fire away. Okay. So let's see further in the words. Vinirali. So what's the Tosfos Rashi answer? Dahainu drasha dahacha, dehecha nemar per bitfilin ela biyecheskel. Umitam, de ain per makamefer, lo avem efkana lemi mitzas tfilin, ela midrasha diyecheskel. Says the Tosa Rush, no. Over there, it's just telling us that bimitsius, if he doesn't have the efer, he can't put it on. It adds Yaakov, that's what we're saying, that's why the Gemara uses the Lashon of Avel, is Patur from this mitzvah, even though he's Chayiv in all other mitzvahs. Because B'mitzius, he's Patur if he has the Afar. But that doesn't tell us that there's an Isur. V'hasam ashminin the Avel Chayiv b'chol mitzvahs, v'lo yafir mitfilm lepatur b'chol mitzvahs, d'hasam taim b'mishum de'ein per b'makam eifer. Over there, it doesn't tell us that there isn't a chiyuv, but rather in a case of where you have the offer on, so then in such a case you're mufka from the mitzvah. But the isur, and for that matter the ptur, that you don't have. What's the Tosfos HaRosh saying? Tosfos HaRosh is saying that in the sugya brachas yud aleph amid aleph, all you see is that there are times that he's mufka from tefillin. But you don't see either an Isur or a fundamental Ptur. Let's say the fellow's an Ones. Let's flesh the Tosfos HaRosh out. Let's say he's an Ones. There's no Afar. He can't put Afar on his head. In such a case, would the Avel have a Chiyuv for Anachas Tefillin? What would you say? Yes, Sammy?
We were saying it depends on what the Torah slash Yud. If it's a general Osir, like it's Yerush Pasuk, so it doesn't matter.
According to Tosfos HaRosh, it sounds like that if all you had was a sugya and brachos Yud Aleph Amid Aleph, then in such a case he would have a chiyuv. However, according to our source, so once you learn from Yecheskel, we're learning an Isur of Hanachas Tefillin. So what emerges then, according to Tosfos HaRosh, is that there's two reasons why an Avel can't wear tefillin. One is an Ones that exempts him, and the other is an Isur. The Ones that exempts him is the Brachas Yud Aleph Amid Aleph. And our sugya is Koveya the Isur. This is the way the Rush is learning. I see, Sammy, you're bothered. Yeah, go ahead. Beautiful.
So
beautiful.
That's the reason those Rashi is differentiating the different reasons in the Gemara, not because of anything, not because of the context. There's a different reason why. Here it says because of
I disagree with you. If the Lashon and Gemara would have been exactly the same, and all you it wouldn't have said the Avil Chayiv versus Asur Laniach, and all it would have said is Midikamar Pe'er, so then I could have said that the sugya in Brachos is making reference to limud that we have in other places. Because remember, this is not the main makar. But once there's a change in the Lashon Avil Chayiv, I'm suggesting that's where Rashi and the Rush are coming from. I said it by Lashon Ulai. I'm not convinced. But, and this diuk is not my own. The Ritva makes this diuk. Yeah.
The only reason we're making a dig here is because you adopt it for you shouldn't word film, you should word film, everybody else shouldn't. It doesn't matter what the word that the Gemara uses, whether it's pair or not. The dig isn't from the word pair or Gemara. At all.
Okay, I agree with you.
So that's why it makes a lot of sense to say that the neck Gemara is specifying the doc that says the word pair.
Right.
So it shouldn't have been pair. That's nothing to do with our Gemara.
I would disagree, because if the Gemara is quoting the pasuk of pair by Yecheskel, that would indicate to me that unless there were other reasons, I was bothered by the exact opposite problem. I was bothered. The Gemara Brachos is saying the same thing. Mehechi Tesei Gemara Brachos is not saying the same thing. So Rashi didn't say that, so that bothered me. And then I see that the Lashon of Avil Chayiv, that indicates to me that. Yaakov?
Why do you need the Gemara and Brachos?
Oh, so why do you need the Gemara and Brachos according to Tosa Rosh's Mahal? Very good question. So that's going to take us to the Tosas and Brachos. Okay? The Tosas and Brachos, please, Hashem, that will get involved. Hopefully we'll be able to answer your question. Maybe not necessarily on itself, but yes, Menachem.
Do you think that the Tosas and Brachos is the Hashem himself, the Peritav Zeber, or he got that from Rashi? He says, in the question he already assumed, he says, Klomar Peritav Zeber, but he says nothing of Gemara.
Oh. So I want to show you that this is, the Rush develops this idea in a very, very important context by us. Take a look. I didn't put it on the Marim Mekomos to give you an exciting bonus in Shir. Where now some pieces, Rabosai, some exciting pieces should come together. Let's take a look at the Rush at the end of Simen Gimel. What's the most important Rush in all Maseches Moed Katan? What's the most important Rush in all Maseches Moed Katan? Paragimel, Simen Gimel. What's discussing? Avails the Rice, Avails the Rabban. Most important Rush. So, the most important Rush in Moed Katan connects what we spend time on, of whether Avails is the Rice or the Rabban, into our Sugya. Take a look at seven lines from the end of the Tosis of the Rush. I'm so excited about this Rush, I'll even be so able to look in the Oz V'Hadar edition. And because it's also seven lines, it's at the end, so I won't get confused. That much I could still do. But the first word online is Asmachta Balmahu. About seven lines from the bottom, from the end of that piece. Vahachi Mistaber. Let's pick up from there. Vahachi Mistaber, says the Rush, Da Avelus the Yalef mi Yecheskel Havi da Raisa. It's Mistaber that Avelus that we learn after Yecheskel is da Raisa. Midyalfinon mine lifter avam in atfilin the havi doraisa. Wow. What does the Rush say? The Rush says, I'll prove to you Avelus is doraisa, because how could you get it out of tefillin, which is a din doraisa? If Avelus is only the Rabbanan, then you shouldn't be able, then it shouldn't be able to be docha. That's the Rush's, it's a great raya. So the Rush in the end, after we went through so much of the piece, where he goes back and forth whether Avelus is Doraisa or not, says the Rush, I'll prove to you that Avelus is Doraisa, because how else could you be potter from Tefillin? V'li nira de'ein rayim mitfillin. But in the end, he rejects this Shita, and he says, you can't bring a raya from Tefillin. D'ptur Tefillin lav mi'echeskel nafka. The p'tur of Tefillin is not learned from Gamrinon. Dimkei nifter kol shiva kishar mili da avelus to gamina mnei. If you're going to learn from Yecheskel, if the din is going to be a din, like a din d'oraisa, then you should be patur all shiva. Ve'ave lo pifter mitfilin el yom rishon. He's only patur from the first day. Elam edichsiv b'yecheskel percha chavashalacha alma tfilin ikri per ve'evel b'yomar ve'avel b'yomar mu'ula b'ofer karno. The avel is in the offer. By the way, Rabosa, I'm very much puzzled. Rishonim keep on coming back to this idea that his head is in the offer and he can't wear tefillin. I don't know where the makar for this is. I don't know where the makar. If someone could help me out, I'm stuck. But all Rishonim seem to be assuming that he has offer on his head. Many Rishonim are assuming that, and therefore he can't put on the tefillin. Ve'ein nachon sheyosem o'ayevel tefillin shu pe'er b'makom efer. U'b'sheva al tasa bitul chacham mitzis tefillin b'yom ha'rishon. And with sheva al tasa chacham were mevatel mitzis tefillin. So what does the Rosh say? The Rosh says like this. The Rosh says, really you should have inferred that's a din d'oraisa avelus. But it can't be a din d'oraisa avelus because I hold this a din d'rabban. If that's so, then how could it be that you're potter from mitzvahs tefillin? So he says, really, there is no potter from mitzvahs tefillin. And if it was a d'oraisa, you should be potter all 7 days. The reason why an avel is potter from tefillin has no makar. Except he's an ones. So Rabbo says, what were our two reasons why the siva? What's the seam? What's the reason why an Avel? I'll leave it. What's the reason we have that an Avel's potter from tefillin? Two possible reasons. One, based on the Sugi and Brachos, according to Rashi, Sammy and Ari are finding whether it's Mukhrach from the Gemara or not. But at the end of the day, from Rashi, it seems to be B'mitzius, he can't put on tefillin. And then there's our Sugi, which might be indicating an Isur. Says the Rosh, don't learn our sugya is telling us an Isur, even though you could use that as a makar to say Avelus is Doraisa, because Avelus is only Darabana. If it will be a Doraisa, then it will be Asur all 7 days. And Lamai, then why is there an Avelus Patra on the first day? Because the first day, he's Mu'ula Ba'afar. So the Rosh says that what is the Iker? The Iker is Rashi, Svarim, Brachas, Yud Aleph, Amid Aleph. And our Gemara is just Stamin Asmachta. But that's not a mechayiv. I leave off with a tzarechiyun, rosh. The Tosas HaRosh says that the mechayiv is the doraisa from the pasuk, and he says you can't learn out from the sugya brachos yud aleph amid aleph. But the Rosh and the Li Nira and the Simonim and Simin Gimel says that the p'tur is the ones that his rosh is mu'ula ba'afar. So this is a tzarechiyun in the Rosh himself. Why in the Tosas HaRosh he says that there's an Isur on the first day, yet in the Rosh himself, in the Psakim, he seems to come out the way of saying that he's an Ones, like Rashi and Brachos Yud Aleph Amid Aleph seems to indicate. How does Taisus and Brachos deal with this problem? Yeah, there are a few questions. Yoni, we're going to go to Tosas and Brachos. So tell me, you have photocopies? You have copies of Tosas and Brachos? Okay, so I'll try to say it out. But tell me, we'll be able to follow. Yes, Yoni?
Yeah, two things. One was a question. How did the Rishonim learn out like according to Rashi, which is roughly in the history, where both the film show Rosh and film say, yeah, if the problem was, say, according to the Gemara and Brachos, only the problem of the owner.
Right.
On the door on the head.
Sarachia number two is what I already know is Yoni's question from 2 months ago. Yoni said a chabura on tefillin on Tisha B'Av. So Yoni raised a problem which I still don't have a yishuv for. It will come up as a problem on Tisha B'Av as well, which we're going to get to. And that is, if the idea is that his head is ba'afar, so you can't put on the shel rosh. How many mitzvahs are there to put on tefillin? It depends who you ask. Who said two? So where do you know that from, Yaakov? Sugya and tefillin. The Rambam counts two separate mitzvahs. The Rambam counts two separate mitzvahs in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. So Yoni's question, particularly according to Rambam, who counts two separate mitzvahs, and in such a case, you should be potter from the Shel Rosh, but why is it that you don't have the Shel Yad? Well, how does the Rambam himself codify the Issur of Tefillin when it comes to Avel? So I don't think the Rambam is going with the Rosh's Mahalach. So within the Rambam, that would be good, but then you got to search all the Shittas HaRishon. The Rosh Tak holds as one mitzvah, right? The Rosh holds as one mitzvah. So in Rabbeinu Tam. So it could be, that would be a potential solution. So again, let's just summarize what we had. We have two tzarkims. Number one, what's the Ptur according to the Rosh? Is the Ptur according to the Rosh the Pasuk? That's what the Rosh seems to be saying in the Tosis HaRosh, as opposed to the Pasuk by us, as opposed to the Onis, because the Onis is not enough. The Tosis HaRosh seems to say that the Ptur, the Rosh and the Pesachim seem to say that the Ptur is the Onis. Tzarkim number two is, if it's a din, Yoni's question, if it's a din of being Mu'ula Ba'afar, so then you should be Potter from, you should be Potter only from the Shel Rosh, not from the Shel Yad. So we're saying that according to the Rambam, who quotes the Pasuk, let's get the exact Rambam. The Rambam in Perek Dalet, Halacha Tes, and Hilchos Avel. The Rambam's lashon is ha'avel b'yom rishon b'vad aser laniach tefillin, and he even quotes. Then he goes out of his way again. Umi nayin shu aser b'yom rishon laniach tefillin shenem ne'amali cheskel perachah v'shalecha mikal shekala amasurim. So according to the dialectic that we created, this is a according to Rambam, it's an iser. According to Rambam, it's an Isser. So the Rambam is the one who holds that there are two separate mitzvahs. Once you have an Isser, so then the Isser is mafkeh both the Shel Rosh and the Shel Yad. The Rosh, who holds that there's one mitzvah of tefillin, so then, if you don't have the Shel Rosh, clearly the Shel Rosh is the Iker mitzvah of tefillin, now it's not the time to be ma'arich in that. But if you say the Shel Rosh is the Iker mitzvah, then it's mafkeh, the mitzvah is tefillin, so that maybe will answer Yoni's Tzarechim. Yes, Yaakov. Yeah. The question is like this. I know what's bothering you. Yaakov asks, at the end of the day, the Rambam holds that Avelis is one day. Most Rishon holds one day. The only one that we had that said more than one day was saying it was 30 days, which was the Ravid. We're going to see down the line, hopefully, if there is a Shita Avelis Shiviyam Doraisa. And so he asks, at the end of the day, why we say tefillin 7 days? The answer is, he's asking not that it should be Doraisa 7 days, that all of Yechezkel's other Yisurim are 7 days. So not to say Doraisa. Doraisa would be the first day, but the Isur should be 7 days. That's what he's saying. Yes, Sam? Again, Meduyak in his words. Let's read it together in his words. He says like this, Venerally, Dahainu drasha dehacha. The drasha over here is dehecha nemar per b'tfilin. Where do we see that per is called by tfilin? Ela b'yecheska. So the makar has to be yecheska. Okay, but if the makar is only yecheskel, so then why don't we say that? Still, his offer, his rosh is meulo ba'offer. And this svara of ein per makom efer, that's not enough to remove you from tefillin. I'm understanding that the reason why it's not enough is because that's not a hafgah. That's only some type of ptur onus. V'hasam ashmi'inon, the e avel chay b'chol mitzvus. Over there, you're just showing Avol's not chayim in all mitzvahs. V'lo yalfin mitfilin lepotro mikol ha-mitzvahs. And we're not learning from tefillin to exempt you from all mitzvahs. Oh, now, this line, let's wait till we see Tosis and Brachas. Tosis and Brachas is going to be relevant to this line.
I'm confused, but I thought we were saying that Tosis Rosh is saying some chilek between Isser and the onis, and that's the reason you go to five.
No, it's part of what the Tosafot Rashi is saying. Ain't a chanam. It's part. Well, I still stand at what.
So can we say that earlier, the whole thing?
What? Say, you want me to say again? Why don't we get to Tosafot Brachos and then we'll come back to the Vahasa Mashmi'ina. I still stand by what I said before.
No, I'm not trying to. I just didn't know. Like,
okay. Say, you know, no, you're saying where do we put the period and where is it the end of the idea and so on. I'm building the different svaras in the sugya. I understand what you're bothered by. Okay. We can only do one thing at a time, especially if the Tosafot and Brachos is going to be matched on what we're doing over here. Okay? Yes, Jacob.
According to the Rosh, the only thing we learn out skill is that Phil is called to air, but really the reason he doesn't wear is the Torah from Afer.
From the Rosh? The Rosh and the Psakim.
Yeah.
Yeah, correct.
So then he holds that you don't learn a Torah at all from
Afer. There's no, I would say, consistent with our language, I would say that there's no Isur that comes from Yechezkel.
So then what Targum is doing?
That's just an Asmachta. That's what it seems like.
It says that. It implies everyone else
Usher,
does.
Right.
It says straight out. And if it's
right.
The Afer, then why doesn't Gemara say that?
Right. The only thing you could say, according to the Rush, is that once we have this halacha that he's supposed to be Mula Ba'afar, so since he's supposed to be that way, then in such a case, it becomes an Isur.
But if, when bringing down the dinim by Tefillin and Avelis, why would Gemara write that down if that's the reason? So where do you know it from? You just write that as the reason, if that's the reason.
Sarachim Inachanam. That requires more Hezber. It could be that that's all part of the Yishuv and being Miyashiv, the Rosh, and the Tosis HaRosh. That could all be connected. Let's take a look at Tosis in Brachos. Tosis in Brachos quotes the Rashi. Shenem Rabban Pe'er, Pirush Rashi, Va'avel Mu'ulo Ba'afer Karno, Ve'ein Noah Losos Pe'er Tachas Efer. And it's not nice to put the tefillin under the Efer. So it sounds like you would put on the tefillin, and then he would put on the Afer. So this might answer the question that you guys were asking. Since every Avel does that, or it's common for an Avel to do that, so then he can't put on the tefillin. Then even the Lashon of Aser. But still my Nafkamina stands. If for whatever reason, in theory, such a Shita could exist, that if it was possible that there was no, if he was in a place that there wasn't any Afer, so in such a case it could be there would be a Chiv. But to answer your question, there's an Isur because every Avil puts Afer onto his head. V'im Tomar. Lama li hai taima. Tepe klei mida omar li yecheschel pe'ercha chava shalecha. Michlal du l'kulei alma asur. Asks Tosos, why do we need this reason of Rashi that he's an ones? At the end of the day, the Pasuk Yecheschel teaches us beferish, everybody else has an Isur. V'tiritz asar mikutzi, the tzarech taima shel Rashi, we need the svar of Rashi, ki heiched lo nelef shar mitzvos mitfilin mikal v'chomer. We need to explain why this mitzvah of tefillin is unique. I would have learned the kal v'chomer from tefillin to all other mitzvahs. And say that just like an avel is potter from mitzvah tefillin, even though if you learn Moed Katan, you would never learn any other mitzvah, I would have made a Kal V'chomer to say all other mitzvahs. Kamash Malan, no, the two work hand in hand. The reason why Yecheskel tells us that there's an Isur, the reason why Yecheskel tells us an Isur, is because he's Mu'lo Be'efer. And hence, it's a unique halacha in regards to tefillin. This is the pshat of the Sar, Mikutzi. Rav Osai just posh pshat in Tosos. What does Tosos mean that we would have a kal v'chomer from tefillin to make him potter from all mitzvahs? Just posh pshat. Yes, Max? Yeah, that idea that we saw before. That tefillin is the idea of ol malchus shamayim. So what the Sar Mikutzi is saying, that if you're potter from ol malchus shamayim, so it shows us that there's no ol mitzvahs at all. So says the Sar Mikutzi, we would have thought that your potter, kamash malah, no, this is the pasuk. Here we have finally the correlation between the Pasuk and the Svara. The Pasuk is teaching us this Svara. Now, look back in the Tosas HaRosh. Just want to finish up the Tosas HaRosh. And that's how the Tosas HaRosh seems to be learning as well. V'hasam ashme'ina da'avach chai b'chol mitzvos v'lo yafina mitfilna potra mikol mitzvos. He's quoting Tosafot Brachos' Kasha. Why don't we learn from there. So he says, because we would have learned to pater all mitzvahs. The hasam by tefillin, the only reason you're pater, the hasam taima, mishum de ein per b'makom efer. So number one, if you just had without the pasuk, then it would have just been some type of din of ones. Ones that would pater you. And again, I'm suggesting, b'loshen ulai, a radical nafkamina, lu yitzuyer. Lu yitzuyer, there was no efer. In such a case, according to the sugya brachos, you would have a chiyuv of tefillin. However, the pasuk of Yechezkel comes along and tells us that there's an Isser. Why isn't that Isser applied to everybody else? Why isn't that Isser applied to everybody else? Because tefillin, the Isser was created because tefillin is not shayich to the Rosh HaAdam b'shas Avelus, because in general, he's a Rosh that's mu'ulal ba'afar. And once it's in general, then you have an Isser. Then there's a chaloy shem Isser. So the sugya and brachas is a p'tur aynes. The sugi over here is a, once you have the pasuk, it's telling us that there's an iser. But then why do you need the svara and brachos? No, because the svara and brachos tells us to limit it to this halacha. There's a stira of a roshel tefillin with a roshel evil. By the way, it's interesting, just a rabosai to chaparayin and shtikl musar from the Yisod. I believe there's one God and there's one Torah and all the Torah is connected. I hope you play on my team. And so therefore, if there's one God and there's one Torah and the Torah is all connected, that means that Kodesh Baruch Hu sometimes gives us Musar and sometimes gives us Mitzvah, sometimes He tells us Lamdus, sometimes He tells us Chasidus. So that means they're all connected. They're all part. So what's the idea? The idea is that Tefillin, there are times, there are things that are Soser, the Mitzvahs of Tefillin. Avelus, Soser, the pair of Tefillin. But of course, Tefillin is not only supposed to be on the outside of the head, the pair outside of the head, but it's supposed to affect the inside of the head. Did you know that there is a halacha that if there are certain things that are going on inside your head, you're not allowed to wear tefillin? That's what we're doing. That's what we're being osek now. That just like there's a stira in the chitzonius of tefillin, the pe'er of tefillin, there's also what emerges also that there's a stira in pnimius of tefillin. That's something to think about when we put on our tefillin. Okay. So what emerges is that the Tosas Harosh and the Tosas and Brachas are pointing out that our sugi is being mashlim, that's not just a p'tur ones if you have Efer, but rather there becomes an Isser. But that Isser is a local Isser by tefillin, can't be transposed to anything else, because a special din in the Rosh HaAvel, is Mufka, Inami, or else it says Tosas, in Brachas, Sarach Taimed Rashi Chaybo Tefillin L'Acher Yom Rishon, D'lo Shayach Ma'olo Ba'ofer Karano Ela B'Yom Rishon Dafka. Or else, says Tosos, that we need Rashi Svara to tell us Dafka Yom Rishon. Because Yom Rishon is when he's Mu'ulo Bafar Karno. Again, Tosos, like the Rosh, is assuming his head has Afer on it on the first day. And if his head has Afer on it in the first day, so then he's going to be Potter from Tefillin. And that's the Makar, then Avil is Potter from Tefillin, Dafka b'yom rishon. Really, you should be pater all shiva if you went through the pasuk in Yecheskel. So the answer is, the pasuk in Yecheskel is not just stam and isur, says Tosus in the second teretz. It's not stam and isur, but rather the pasuk in Yecheskel is telling us the isur which comes from ulobafar karno. According to Tosus, the second teretz, the pasuk in Yecheskel and the sugi and brachos are working hand in hand. The sugi and brachos is giving us, if you will, the sibas ha-yisur, and the sibas ha-yisur is mu'ulo ba'afar karno, and therefore the yisur is only on the first day. In contrast to Tosis' first mahalach and the Tosis harash, there we're telling us two different things. Over here, according to the Tosis' second teretz, one is being mashlim the other. The hainu that the you would have learned from Yecheskel only 7 days. In other words, Moed Katan Tezvavim and Aleph would have told you only 7 days. Comes only Sugi and Brachos, and it gives us the Sibas HaYisr. The Sibas HaYisr is Mula Bafar Karno. If it's Mula Bafar Karno, then it's only going to be the first day, and it's not going to be any other days. This is Tosas and Brachos' Teretz. Second Teretz. So Rabosai, first what we're doing is we just have to outline the Shitas, just to make sure all of the Mahalchim are clear. First mahalach that we developed, that there's a difference between Rashi and Brachos and the sugya of Brachos and the sugya of Moed Katan is according to mahalach Tosa Rosh and Tosas' first teretz. However, according to Tosas' second teretz, the two are just being mashlim each other. They're not two different things. L'may nafkamina, again, in the case of Onis with just the sugya and Brachos. According to the sugya and Brachos, Onis is the p'tur, and therefore, if l'may nafkamina, just to make that clear, l'may nafkamina, if there wasn't any afer, in such a case, he would be p'tur. Yes, Yoni.
I don't understand why all the answers, all the sheets can't be matching each other. Tosa says
two different things. If Tosa's held that they were the same thing, he wouldn't have said an inami.
No, it's just a different way to be mashim. The first one.
I agree with you.
From the Tesco, all you know,
but the starting part is the havamino. According to Tosa's first pshat, we never would have thought that it was talking about 7 days, right?
Okay.
In the first pshat, according to Tosa's second pshat, you would, and that it seems to indicate a different understanding of what Rashi and Brachos is bringing out.
Even according to Tosa's first answer, it could be mashman, but in different aspects.
Beseder, okay.
It's being
magder. But what emerges then is that there's a fundamental difference in what Rashi is bringing out in Brachos according to the first pshat. According to the second pshat, you don't see that. That's what I'm trying to bring out. Yes, Eitan.
What if there's Mokko, or if there's Mokko, that's saying literally, physically speaking, can't put fill in the place where there's dust, or the spiritual thing that there's so sir, the afer of Avelis is so sir.
It sounds to me to be very pragmatic. It sounds to me that because they put on the afer, they're mufka from putting on the tefillin.
Does that apply to anybody that has dust on his head?
What's
not
that?
Not just the din and Avelis, any type of filth on your head, you'll be able to put on tefillin, or just in
a... Oh, in a chanami, I think, right, anybody. That would be the din of the chitzonius. Yeah. Okay, so these are Tosis's two answers. Yoni, I hear what you're saying, but I still stick by my guns, that there's a different emphasis in the two terutzim of Tosis. Yes, Sammy?
What's the different emphasis exactly?
The different emphasis?
I mean, I know obviously the difference between Husas, but why? Is there an inherent difference between the way Rashi, he's learning Rashi's is there...
According to the first pshat, according to Rashi, what's going on is that the sugya in Brachos is bringing out something else than the sugya in Moed Katan. And what Rashi is bringing out is that there's a p'tur onis. According to the second pshat, no, the sugyas are really the same. Then why do you need these? Why do you need the idea of Afer? The idea of Afer is to... I think it's Mukhra from what Tosis is saying.
All he's saying is the first answer is saying whatever you say Pshat is in Rashi, the first one is saying that Pshat Rashi only applies to specifically.
No, when I'm saying Rashi, I'm assuming that Rashi is the Sugi and Brachos.
Right.
So the starting point is, what do you need the Sugi and Brachos for? It seems like the Sugi and Brachos is serving two different purposes according to the first Pshat.
I understand that's true, but I don't think that changes the inherent what Rashi is saying. In what case Rashi is saying is an Onis?
No.
Why?
Because. Okay, I'll explain to you afterwards. I understand what's bothering you, and I'll explain to you why I think that's so. Okay, now, once we have these two different pshatim in Tosos, I just want to point out to you that there is another Rashi. There is another Rashi in Sukkah. Rashi in Sukkah, on Daf Chaf Hei Amid Aleph, Rashi in Sukkah on Daf Chaf Hei Amid Aleph gives a different pshat of why you're potter from Pe'er. For an other. Rashi says, in Dibur HaMaskil, this is the Dibur HaMaskil we have to change. Shenemar Bahen Pe'er, what does Rashi and Sukkah say? Kilo Kamon, Va'ovel Lav Pe'eru, Ukushim Ispa'er, Mare Ba'atzmo She'eno Ovel. Can anybody tell me what Rashi means? What's Rashi saying? Yes, Sammy?
I think it's two different ideas, man.
By the way, I want to give you credit, Sam, even though you were frustrated in not seeing the Chilgan Tos, that you're willing to go on. Ashrecha. Yeah, go ahead. No, really. It's not easy, especially when you're convinced that something is right. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
I think the first and second half are completely different ideas, I thought.
Okay, go ahead.
The first one is saying that it's a problem in tefillin. While you're in Avelos, you have offered head, you can't put tefillin in your head. It's similar to Rashi Brachos. The second idea is that it's really a problem in Avelos. The person who puts a pair on his head, he's saving himself, he's on Avelos, he's not really fulfilling Avelos properly.
Beautiful. Rashi in Sukkah says, Yesh Lodun on the way you're touching up the ratio of Rashi, but I'm making a big deal of the sefer anyhow, so it's fine. Ukishem Ispa'er Ba'atzmo, Rashi says in the end of Rashi, She'ena Avel. When he puts on tefillin, then he's as if making a statement that he's not an Avel. So from Rashi in Sukkah, it seems, that's not what Rashi in Brachos is saying, that when he has Afar on his head, there's a stira to the Pe'er. But rather, and here you get to Eitan, this is what you were driving at, that's why I think that's not what, I think what you had said was closer to what Rashi in Sukkah is saying, and that is that a Rosh HaAvel is not supposed to be someone with Pe'er. And Avel, and someone wears tefillin is in a state of Pe'er. Someone who's wearing tefillin is a state of Pe'er. Really, those of you who are zochet every once in a while to go to the Old City and see Yireim and Shleimim that wear tefillin on their heads the entire time, once you do the sugya, you begin to appreciate it a little bit more. Because of our Western upbringing, and I suffer from the same thing, when I see someone wearing tefillin walking in the street, and that's how we're supposed to do. Tefillin is, you put it on before you daven, and you take off the straps after you daven, and that's it. But the truth is, tefillin has nothing to do with davening. Tefillin is about a pe'er, that a person is that his rosh is clear, and that this is a pe'er of, this is the pe'er of Klal Yisrael, not a black hat, not a kippah serugah. Both of them, or neither of them, are the pe'er of Klal Yisrael. It's the tefillin that represents that pe'er. So that the pe'er is nistar from the rosh ha'avel. This is the pshat that Rashi says in Sukkah. Why Rashi gives two different pshatim, I don't know. I have a tzarachian. I'll tell you what the other of Lichtenstein said. Who's the other of Lichtenstein? There's the Baal of Footnotes, right? Rav Elio Lichtenstein. He's a big Talmud Chacham. He has the footnotes on. He writes footnotes on many of the Ritvas. So Rav Lichtenstein has an interesting mahalach to be miyashi the two stiras in Rashi. Which I don't think I want to accept, but let me tell you what Rav Lichtenstein says. He suggests the following. This is in the Ritva on Sukkah, on page, on Hara number 413. Actually, it's on Daf Chaf Hei, Amud. Actually, here it's on Amud Beis, Hara 413. V'yitachen shelachen shina Rashi v'brachas es pirushim imashe pirush kan. Dekan mashma, the avol mishum avelusa potter from tefillin. Here it's mashma that an avol is potter from tefillin. Ulechein pirush amay avelus poteres. So here he's explaining why he's potter from tefillin. Why is he potter from tefillin? He says because it's a pe'er and he can't wear a pe'er, so he's an onus. V'sham bebrachos pirush lefisugias hagemar b'malikaton shamra the asur. But over there in Brachos, says Rav Lichtenstein, he's explaining why it's usher to put on tefillin. And the reason why it's usher to put on tefillin is because, why? Is because he's wearing afer on his head. And afer is an isur to put on tefillin. So Rabosai, I don't think it's meduyik at all. Because the Lashonos in the same are the same in both of the Gemara. It's Avel Chayiv B'chol HaMitzvos, both in Sukkah and in Brachos. And according to the way we saw from the Tosfos HaRosh and the first Teretz of Tosfos, that's not a removal, that's not an Isur. It's just an onus. Not what he's saying. So it's not meduik neither in the Lashon HaGemara nor in the Shita of the Tosfos HaRosh, and therefore we must reject what Rav Lichtenstein is saying and leave off with a Tzarech Iyun of why Rashi says what he says, why he changes in Sukkah from... I didn't get a chance to look at the Rav Shiurim. Maybe the Rav has something. Just looking at the Talmidim are learning Sukkah. I remember that you have the Shiurim by your seats. I didn't get a chance to take a look. Maybe the Rav has a different Yishuv. But the Magia's Yishuv is extremely difficult. It's not Mukhruch in the words of the Gemara, nor is it Mukhruch according to the Mahalach of the Tosa Rosh. So we leave it as a Tzarechiyun. Why does Rashi change? Again, my difficulty with his Pshat is he's saying that Rashi and Brachos is explaining an Isur. Lehefach, the Gemara in Brachos doesn't say an Isur. It says Avel Chai B'chol Mitzvos, except for this. The Isur is in the Sugya Moed Katan, and he's claiming that Rashi is explaining the Sugya Moed Katan. The Ritva himself pointed out that the Lashonos are different in Moed Katan and in Brachos. So why does he assume Brachos is Moed Katan? Brachos is Brachos, not Moed Katan. So I leave that as a tzarachim. But by the way, I say what happens when you reject what another Talmud Chacham says. It's the ultimate kavod. The ultimate respect is to quote something from somebody and say that it's wrong. That's Milchamta Shel Torah. That's the ultimate kiyum. You know, they say, we quoted Rav Isser Zalman earlier on, in the beginning of the day, a long time ago, over an hour ago. So we quoted Rav Isser Zalman and I mentioned to you that I thought that Rav Isser Zalman was one of the clearest of all the Talmidim of Reb Chaim. Rav Isser Zalman was a unique Gaon. On the one hand, he was a Gaon Atzum, yet at the same time, his Midos were impeccable. And that's not often defined. Not often you find people who are such Gaonim who have impeccable Midos. They say, and also he was Kulo Torah. Rav Isser Zalman was his entire Metzius was Kulo Torah. They say that one time it was actually with Rav Zevin, who he's quoting here in the Sefer. By the way, the fact that Rav Isser Zalman quotes Rav Zevin in of itself is a very, very important phenomenon. Says who Rav Isser Zalman was. Rav Zevin was the editor of the Encyclopedia Talmudis. He wrote some beautiful, beautiful books. He was a beautiful writer. He was, on the one hand, a lamdin atzum in the Derech Halimud and Lutfish Derech Halimud, but at the same time, he was a Chabad Chassid. He was a unique blend. And he also engaged sometimes secular Jews. He didn't reject secular Jews entirely. And there were some big Talmidei Chachamim who were very upset in Rav Zevin's attitude, his openness towards secular Jews. Rav Zevin also was Ma'arich Rav Kook very much, and they didn't like that either. So one time, Rav Zevin was at a bris with a famous Talmud Chacham, a Gadol Atzum, who we've already quoted a few times in Shir, who was a Kanoi, and Rav Isser Zalman was sitting there also in the bris. And Rav Isser Zalman came home, and he threw up everything he ate at the bris. So the Rav Isser Zalman had a famous Rebbetzin. She was known as the Rebbetzin Beis Lehinda. At a Yom Hazeh, if you go to Lakewood, Rav Aaron Kotler was a son-in-law of Rav Isser Zalman. If you go to Lakewood, there are quite a few in the Kotler family. A lot of the girls are named Beis Lehinda. In fact, my brother is a Rosh Chabur in Lakewood, so I was talking to his wife. So he said, Rav Schneer's last daughter, Beis Lehinda, I was with her, I was talking with her. Adi Yom Hazeh, the name Beis Lehinda is a very popular name in the world of Lakewood. That was Rav Isser Zalman's Rebbetzin. Rav Aaron was his son-in-law. So Rebbetzin Beis Lehinda was a very shrewd lady, and she said, "You don't even have to tell me what happened. I know what happened." She said, "I know who was at the bris. Rav Zevin was at the bris, and this other Kanoi was at the bris." And they started talking about Tzarchei Klal Yisrael, and before long, Rav Zevin had one worldview, and this big Gaon also had a different worldview, and they started disagreeing. And she said, he said, "That's exactly what happened." He said, "One was sitting on one side of me, and the other was sitting on the other side, and they started arguing politics, and I just tried to get them to speak and learning. They didn't want it. They were so... They had, sometimes you can't speak and learn. You have to worry about Tzarchei Klal Yisrael." But Rav Isser Zalman was kol kulei Torah. He couldn't be sovel when he would see two Talmidei Chachamim speaking with each other. So then he threw up. The Rebbetzin Beis Lehinda was the one who wrote the Sefer Evin Ezel. According to legend, Rav Yifrach had told you that it's hard to read the Sefer Evin Ezel. The reason why it's hard to read Sefer Evin Ezel is it's black on white. That the Rebbetzin Beis Lehinda wrote it. What does it mean she wrote it? That Rav Isser Zalman was a Gaon Atzum, and he used to write on different sheets of paper, and he just brought them home, and she said, "You have to publish a sefer." She said, "I'm too busy learning." So she said, "Just give me the notebooks." So the Rav Isser Zalman gave her the notebooks, and she took the different notebooks, and she wrote the sefer. She wrote the sefer Evin Ezel. They say she was a tremendous, tremendous. She was a very, very smart lady, but at the end of the day, a girl is a girl, right? The sefer was a little bit the sefer was a little bit hard to read. The sefer, look, she didn't learn in yeshiva. So our piece is a little bit of a raya, right? That she put together different manuscripts, because the piece that we had was, he says that this is a letter that I sent to Rav Zevin. This is a letter that I sent to Rav Zevin. So she took all the different things, and that became the great, awesome Sefer Evin Ezel. Sometimes a little bit hard to read, because she was compilating all these things that Rav Isser Zalman didn't have the the time to do. Rav Yisrael Zalman thanks her profusely in the Hakdama of the Sefer, that she helped him a lot in putting out that putting out the Sefer. Of course, when I said a girl's a girl, I meant as a joke, as a tongue in cheek. But that's okay. I hope there's people out there who have a sense of humor. So so at the end of the day, lehefach. If anything, this is the most powerful. You know, for a woman who never had, for a woman who had never learned in yeshiva, that she was able to write the Sefer Evin Ozel, that's mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling. No, I'm not. So anyhow, so Rav Yisrael Zalman in the Hakdama thanks her profusely, and he had a tremendous amount of Hakaras Hatov to his wife. Ad kedei kach. That they say the way he treated his wife was very, very special. One time, Rav Shalom Shvadron was saying a shmooze in the shul, and just like now, there was a little bit of a crisis of Shalom Bayis. Right now, there's a little bit of a crisis of Shalom Bayis. In Nativ Aryeh, they decided that it's time to start talking about the guys about Shalom Bayis already, way before they're even thinking about getting married. Because we're seeing over and over again that there are Talmidim that have no good, sweet guys, but they have no idea of how to treat their wives. And it's an avodas amidas that have to be worked on very hard. So Shlomo Shvadron got up 50 years ago. There's also some type of crisis in Yerushalayim. And he decided he's going to speak about Shalom Bayis in the shul. So he got up to speak, and Rav Yisrael Zalman walked in. And he said, and then he didn't know what to do. Because who is he to talk about Shalom Bayis? Rav Yisrael Zalman's stamazai, who's he to preach to Rav Yisrael Zalman? Rav Yisrael Zalman sat down in the back and he listened to the whole shmooze. After the shmooze, Rav Yisrael Zalman ran over to Rav Shvadron, and he said to him, Yashikayach, thank you very much. You should know that I take the Rebbetzin Beil Hinda for granted. She helps me so much, and I appreciate that you spoke about Shalom Bayis. It's something that no one talks about. So Rav Shvadron felt terrible, but he said the whole thing was geared to everybody else. I was thinking of not even talking about it once I saw Rav Yisrael Zalman come in. But of all the people who got the message, it was dafka the person that it wasn't geared towards. And the point is that Gedolei Torah have a sensitivity. So many of us, when we hear a Musar, we say, oh, he's talking about somebody else. But the Gedolei Torah who are the best at it, those are the people who really excel.